All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here with you all this morning, all those who are listening. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne and that all things are in your hands, Father. Thank you for your grace, Lord, and your mercy on us. We just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us courage and wisdom, Lord, as we apply these words to our life, Lord, as we look for your return. Again, we just want to thank you. Help us to be faithful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, again, greet you all this morning. Appreciated the boys. The admonition they received from their fathers to strive to be, to live and correct their lives now to become better fathers and husbands, leaders, whatever. If they don't marry, just that they could be wise men. You just help them to appreciate the emphasis on the future. I mean, we're training. A lot of times we hear the phrase, we're training children. We're not training children. We're training young men and training young women. We're not training them to be children. We're training them to be adults. And that should be the focus of our training. I mean, there's times different stages in their lives and different areas they need to work on. And there's times to play and there's times to do all of that. But it's the general goal is that when they're out of our hands, that they are godly adults that can carry on the faith, they can carry on whatever God gives them, and that they can be a blessing, and they can be an example for the Lord. Just a real encouragement there that, you know, the children that we're training and teaching and raising, they can go a lot farther than us a lot of times. Sometimes we didn't have all that hands-on guidance that we're able to give our children. Sometimes it was put on a little heavy the other way, a little too much, just oversight, not really letting the children bloom and be what they need to be. So just a blessing that you can guide your children into being adults. And also appreciate Cale's thoughts about keeping our minds where they're supposed to be. Sometimes, you know, we read in the Bible that lift up your eyes to the hills, from whence cometh our redemption. And the thought or the idea that Jesus is returning one of these days. You know, I was held a sign out in front of one of the malls, the local malls around here, and all it said was, Jesus will return. And they wouldn't even let me do that because that struck fear in the hearts of people. Just that simple message, Jesus will return. And I think that we lose sight of that a lot of times, that Jesus will return one of these days. And that is our hope. You know, the Jewish people, whenever the promise of the Messiah was coming. They were looking for him. But when he came, he didn't fit what they really thought he ought to be. But there were some that were. The whole existence of the Jewish people, the goal of that was to bring in the Messiah. Their whole existence, the reason they went and fought wars, the reason they preserved the nation of Israel was so that the Messiah could be brought from them, to protect the promises that God had brought upon them. Their whole existence revolved around the coming of the Lord. Our whole existence should revolve around the coming of the Lord. This time, in the glory and splendor that He promised. Not coming as a babe, not coming as a simple child or growing up and being rejected by men, but this time when He comes, He will be in control. He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we lose sight of that so easily. Here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, says, "Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mockings, following their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.' For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and by water." Here this showing the emphasis of the early church, the early brethren. Their message, the Lord will return. The Lord will return. So much so that the mockers were saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? Where is all this about Him coming again?" Their focus was so much on Him returning that the mockers, that's what they mocked about. "Where is He? You say He's coming again, where is He?" And that those mockers, the purpose of their mocking is to wear the brethren down. And we get wore down to the point that is it on our minds and in our hearts that the Lord will return again? Do we even hardly think about it even sometimes? We're so caught up, like Cale talked about. Get so caught up in what we're doing. Is the purpose and the goal of our life to be ready, like the Lord is going to return any time? Or are we so tied up and caught up in all the things around us that we barely even give it a thought? The mockers were effective. The mockers' ways are effective. It gets us to sometimes just so occupied, whatever. The result is the same. Our minds are not where they're supposed to be a lot of time. Verse 6. "Through which the world at that time..." begin back at 5. "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." He's talking about the times of Noah. These people, Jesus referenced it, that they were eating, drinking, building, buying, selling, living, and they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. Then preparedness, the unreadiness. You know, we like to have things in order. You know, we go to work and we do our jobs and we we live our lives and we like to have things all prepared. We do a good job of it. But do we have this prepared? Are we prepared for this greatest theme in history? The greatest time that's coming. Ever since the very beginning of time, the most wonderful, spectacular thing that's coming to this earth is Jesus Christ will return again and set things straight. You know, we love to be prepared. But are we prepared? Do we really think this is going to be the greatest event of all times? You know, we can think of a lot of neat things that's happened. Or neat things that could happen. And we prepare for them. Sometimes we think of bad things that could be coming. And so we prepare for them. But all that means nothing if we're not prepared for Jesus to return. Are we watching and waiting like it is something valuable to us? Or are we just so caught up in daily life? Well, we got everything in order here. Just like it was in the days of Noah. You know, and a lot of times we think, oh, those were just wicked people. But you know, there's a lot of decent people that just get caught up and their goal is not the return of the Lord. They like to live right. There's a lot of blessings in living right. There's a lot of fruit in living right. And we can have all that just down to a T. And when the Lord comes, not be ready for Him. But by His word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. You know, when we read about the Bible, read in the Bible, Revelations, Matthew, Timothy, when it talks about the last days or the last times, you know, I used to hear about them. I've heard about them all my life. And the old preachers, they just seemed like, oh, I've never seen times like this. And just kind of preached it that we're just on the verge of the Lord returning again. Now we look out and we see things that they would have never imagined. They would have never dreamed. Things are going on today in this world. They would have never even had it in their minds to fathom what was happening every day. And it's all around us. We see things and hear things all the time that would have never entered the mind of someone 40 years ago preaching about the return of Jesus and about the book of Revelation, about the end of the times, the end of the world. They would be astonished to see the things going on today that we see and live in and live with. And we don't have the urgency that they did a lot of times. That's what it means whenever the Bible says, because sin abounds, the love of many is waxed cold. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We hear this little phrase sometimes, but the Bible says, don't let it escape your notice. One day with the Lord, it says 1,000 years. You know, sometimes we have bad days and it just seems like they go on forever. But it's just one day. And as times have changed, we've talked about this for a few minutes, the 40 years ago, how things were. It's just a few days to the Lord. Just a day or so to the Lord. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but that all would come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. You know, we look out, the sun shines, goes up every day, moon comes up in the night. Sometimes it's cloudy, but we know it's still there. We think that's just almost immovable. You know, things are consistent, things are the same. Spring, summer, winter, fall, it just changes. And we adapt to it. We're in the cold now. But one of these days, the heavens will be rolled away. The very things that we think are so steady and important to us will all be gone, and the earth and everything in it will melt with fervent heat. The elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and the works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. It's so easy for us to see things that are happening. We live in a time of information. We just get all kinds of information. Jesus said that in the last days, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll all be kind of all kinds of perilous things going on. And we'll hear them. We'll see them. And it's so easy for us to get a little nervous about it, to get a little scared about it. And we begin to hear things today. I mean, you can hear it everywhere. You can read it in a paper. You can see it on your phone. You can hear it on the radio. You can see it on the TV. All kinds of different information coming to us. And it affects us. And we get stirred up one way or the other. Either angered or hopeful. Hopeful and angered. Angered then hopeful. Upset then discouraged. Just over and over again. And we just like that. And it's difficult. But all of those things, those highs, those lows, those ups, those downs, those good, those bads, all of those things aren't where our hope is. It's higher than that. In fact, Jesus promised, you have to go through these things, and all these things are going to happen. You know, you read these things that are bad, it seems, to the world. We don't want to go through them. But when they happen, instead of getting all depressed and discouraged and scared, it should be a sign of, hey, that we're getting closer to the Lord's return. We got to go through this. This is what we'll have to go through. This is what this earth, this world has to go through before the Lord will return. We just don't want to go through it. But if we look past the little trials and the little tribulations that we might have to go through, one of these days, the whole sky is going to split. And every eye shall see Him. And every tongue will confess. You know, it looks like the world's being taken over by powerful people controlling things. They can control everything except your trust in the Lord. They can control everything. They can try with all their might. Their main goal for all the news, all the information, all the terrorism, all the things that could happen that keep you scared to death, all those things are intended to do just that. To shake your faith, just like the mockers. In the last days, mockers will come, saying, where is His returning? Where is the hope that you have? And they'll use any method available to shake your faith and your hope. If it's fear, if it's hope in something else, whatever it is, the purpose of everything that's going on around you right now is to try to shake your faith in the return of the Lord. That's the whole goal. That's the purpose. That's the reason why everything is going on right now. It's just to shake your faith. Kind of feel important, huh? That the purpose of the whole world is to turn you away from the Lord. To turn you, to shake you, to scare you from that hope that He will return again. And regard, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace. Look at what He first said. Be diligent to be found of Him in peace. We can stick our head in the sand and just not pay attention to anything going on around us. Some people do that. Just live their lives with cotton in their ears and just live their lives through it, because that's the only way they can have peace. I don't necessarily see the brethren in the Bible, the saints, not knowing what's going on around them. They were going through all these things. They were hearing all these things. They were seeing all these things. Not knowing the future, but afraid of what might happen. They still had peace. You see, we can have peace knowing that bad times may be coming. We can still have peace right in the middle of bad times. We can still have peace in prosperous times. That all depends on where our focus is. They had peace. You know, we've talked about it before, about people that are all excited, the riot mentality. In the middle of a riot, nobody has very much wisdom. there's not much rationale. They may think what they're doing is rational, but it proves to be foolishness. We can get stirred by things. You know, when you're angry, you're not going to make very good decisions. You're just not going to make a very good decision if you're angry. You're not going to make a very good decision if you're scared to death. You're not going to make many wise decisions in fear. You're not going to make many wise decisions when you're worried. You're not going to make many wise decisions when you're all stressed out. Just not going to happen. You make wise decisions when you're calm and you're at rest and you have peace. See, the way we get through hard times is being faithful in the times we're going through right now. We start thinking about too much, too far in the future, what could be, what might. We get nervous, we get scared, and then we start making stupid mistakes right in front of us. Then we're sure not going to be prepared for the bigger things that might come. But if we take the steps that are right in front of us with peace, with trust, with faith, we'll have the courage and we'll have the strength to take the bigger steps as they come along. Now is the time to be at rest. We can't change the bad things that are going to come on this world. They're as much of a promise as Jesus' return is a promise. The deception, the horrible things that are coming on this earth are just the beginnings of things that have to happen, Jesus said, before he returns again. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Therefore, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which there are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Some things he talked about being hard to understand, in which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. We try so hard to understand things, to have all things figured out. And when they won't, we can't quite get them figured out, we make a way where we can figure them out. That's where we begin to twist things around. We get hopeful for some good thing to happen, so we hear a little bit of news about it and we just make that in our mind. We start believing something that probably isn't even true. just because it agrees with what I want it to hear, what I want it to say, I want it to do. We can do the same thing on the opposite way. We can become so negative. I've told people for years, you know, they ask me, well, what does this scripture mean? What does that scripture mean? And I said, if you read it and you don't understand it, you just read right on, keep on going. I don't know how many times I've come to Bible verses that I didn't know what it meant. Maybe 6 months, maybe a year later, I read and it's just as plain as day. When we try to force things in our minds, when we try to force ideas, it never works. People wish that cars could just drive on the sunshine or water. And they may one day. But because I wish it would happen, I could make all kinds of laws and try to force people into doing it and get rid of gasoline cars because, oh, they're bad. We want water cars. And so we just force everybody into driving a water car and we all wind up pushing our car because it won't run on water right now. When you try to force something, it's just like that. But as we live day to day and we're just faithful doing what we're supposed to do, living in peace, blameless, spotless, godliness, one day it might just all make sense. But if we're all upset and angry and scared, trying to force ourselves into something that's not there, not available yet, we won't be ready when the time comes. Jesus said, basically said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. The way we endure is to live in peace, godliness, right now. To live with a hope of his return right now. The mockers want us to turn aside to something different. They want us scared. They want us angry. They don't really care what it takes. Just get you diverted. Patience. Patience. The Lord's being patient. We need to be too. You know, whenever there's a trial, when there's an uproar, when there's some, we've seen it. It's not time to be making decisions then. It's time to hunker down and be patient. The Lord will prevail in the end. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
It's really easy to get like hard on people, you know, like you see, like, I don't know where I work, you know, I've seen two people with this week with their feet cut off, and both of them, you know, had lived hard lives, you can pretty well tell, and they probably had their part of their foot amputated because of the way they lived, and it's real easy to be like, you know, you hear some people, whatever, they're, you know, and you're like, well, at the same time, it's real easy to be nice to that person too, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's as easy to be nice as it is to be hard. And we were watching the news the other day when I was with a couple of guys, and they opened up a new shelter in Kansas City, And the one guy's like, man, they all, and the reason they opened the shelter is one of the guys froze, or some homeless guy froze to death a few weeks ago from the weather. And the guy's like, well, they should all freeze to death. And it's like, well, I mean, just because they're homeless, that doesn't mean that they need to freeze to death. I mean, this is the most rich country in the world, and we can't open up a gymnasium to let the homeless people sleep in it. It's like, why do you have to be that hard? I mean, there's just no reason to be, you know, that hard on people. But I can, I mean, you know, I think we all have it in us to be that hard. You have to make a conscious decision to where, you know, yes, that person made a bunch of bad choices in their life, but at the same time, you can still be nice to them. You can still try to help them. You can still, and who knows, you know, I went through 7 drug treatment centers, and, you know, the last time I was just done. But how do you know when that person decides that they're going to change, you know? I mean, I believe that if you're addicted to drugs, it takes something more than yourself cannot do. Mm-hmm. God has to touch you somehow to be able to, you know, get free from that. But even getting free from it doesn't mean that you're, you know, God is good. God is great. God wants to help people. But just because you get clean or you start walking the straight path doesn't mean that you're following the Lord by any means. Right. You can still be that. I mean, look at the, you know, the radical Islam. They walk a righteous path, but they'll still strap a bomb against your chest and blow it up. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Floyd last night, and it's just amazing where we are. Like, if you read Revelations about this thing comes out of the bottomless pit and it has a face of a man, and, you know, all this stuff, all that was kind of crazy to look at, but we're there with science right now to where they could create, maybe it is going to come from a bottomless pit and it's going to be something supernatural. But maybe it's going to be something that man created by their own greed. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, who knows, you know? But we're at that point now to where we could create a lot of the stuff that they talk about in Revelation. And we were also watching another video where this guy called a man, and he was dressed as a woman, and, you know, they were just making this huge deal out of it about how it was a hate crime. Could you imagine 40 years ago calling a guy to dress, you know, I mean, people wouldn't even, that wouldn't even enter their mind. You would have told somebody that 40 years ago, and they said you were crazy, you know, so wherever we're at, it's just, it's going to be interesting. And, like, I have a friend at work, and he's from Tanzania, and sometimes I'll look up something on Google Translator, and I'll say it to him in Tanzanian, or I think it's, I forgot what his language is, but I can speak any language in the world enough to communicate with my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I can go to any country in the world and use their currency with my ATM card or with my iPhone. We have one language. We have one currency. It's just, I mean, and it's just we're so blind we don't see that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know if that made any sense or not, but.
That's a lot. Lord.
There's something that I think about a lot in Matthew 10, verse 28, where it says, do not fear those who can kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear to the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this kind of gives me encouragement that if I continue to do as Jesus said, then I'm going to be an heir with him and not out of fear.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, God bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.
So. Good morning, everybody. Our assignment that Brother Jason gave us was to ask our dads something that we need to work on, you know, to be a, you know, if someday we're a father, you know, to be a better husband or father. And my dad said I do a lot of analyzing things and thinking through things, and I need to, you know, keep on with that, but not to where I forget, you know, just to be courteous with people.
Some things that Dad said I need to work on in order to be a good father husband is to be a leader by walking in the light each day and making best decisions I can. And if I mess up, just get back on track and keep going forward.
My dad said that I should be more faithful at getting done with my job and then asking for another, and not looking for loopholes. He said to keep taking life light enough that I don't forget common courtesies and stuff.
Dad also told me to be a leader by choosing to walk in the light each day, make the best decisions you can. If you mess up, get back on track and keep moving forward.
My dad told me I could work at working together with others in harmony better. And so it's been a blessing this week to think about that and work together with people.
My dad said that I need to keep on helping my siblings, and whenever someone needs my help, just be there and not wait to be called. And when I'm asking questions, I need to ask someone who knows, because they'll be glad to explain. And answering questions too, just answer them loud and clear so that they understand.
I need to be more of a leader and not just follow the crowd, and not follow the crowd, be a leader and stand up for what's right.
My dad said I need to have a good attitude while I'm working.
I need to work on diligence and just do my school or whatever without just looking around as much.
I actually talked to my dad. He told me that he would send me a big list of things, which he didn't. I was busy, but one thing that he did tell me is that I need to work on patience. I tend to be really impatient at times. And he told me that if I have children, patience is a must-have.
Morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good this morning. I want to read Ephesians 6 and start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Those verses always just kind of encourage me. I've always liked that passage there. It just reminds me I get a tendency to get pretty distracted and just day-to-day life, get caught up in work and everything that's going on in the world, and I've just got to remind myself that this isn't our kingdom, and this world, the fights that this world is in isn't our fight. Just got to stay focused and keep our eyes fixed on what really matters. Something I struggle with quite a bit, just staying focused. It seems like it's a lot easier just to bury yourself in your work and everything, and not, it's easier to, not that there's anything wrong with working, and I mean, God needs to do His best in everything He does, but God comes first, and need to remember why we're here and why He put us on this earth. This Bible says, I read a verse this morning in John chapter 18, it said, they had Jesus on trial. He said, "This isn't my kingdom." And let's read it if I find it. But. Yeah, so Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Just like everything that's going on with the politics and right now and all that, and God can get pretty into that and worked up and thinking, well, you know, maybe we should be doing more to try to fix this. But, you know, when it comes down to it, that's not our fight. God's got to remember that and remember that we're here to fight God's fight, not the world's. That's all I had this morning. Thank you.
Yeah. Whoa.